Jordan McDonald, Glenn Mack now. Let's get Dennis in Springfield up here. He wants to talk about the schedule. What are you thinking, Dan?
Yeah, I'm glad you guys are going to indulge me. Happy Sunday, by the way. I can't wait for this game.
Yeah, right.
But it maybe it's my imagination, maybe it's my homerism, whatever it is. And I'm glad Jody's on because he does have a national perspective. But for the first 9-10 weeks of the season, when the Eagles were undefeated, it never seemed to be failed to mention of what a soft schedule they played, mostly national, sometimes local. And then you look at who Dallas has played since Thanksgiving. The entire AFC South, the Eagles, three straight games with a backup quarterback, and today will be the second straight game with a quarterback making his start for the first time ever. Yet I never, ever hear about how soft their schedule is and how fortunate they are. Instead, it's how well they're doing. Do they have a shot at the Super Bowl? Blah, blah, blah. And I don't get it. I really don't get why things can't be pointed out about them that are pointed out against other teams. Like I said, maybe it's my homerism. Maybe it's...
Jody, it's all yours.
Maybe it's years and years of eating cowboy crap. But it's just been bugging me.
What you say is accurate, and what you're saying is fair. The Eagles' early season schedule wasn't a killer gauntlet that they had to run when they were going undefeated. That was accurate. Did people overemphasize it, make it sound like they were playing a little sister to the poor every week? Yes, which annoyed me too. So you and I are in the same boat there. And to point out that the Cowboys' schedule has gotten soft here on the back end is also accurate. So here's what we do. Game's over and done with today. Eagles are going to win, so they're going to win the division. And then we compare the two schedules, and guess what? They're going to be blatantly similar.
Yeah.
And the Eagles will have won more games. They will have rightfully won the division. They'll keep the streak going of different winner in the NFC East every single year. So all that previous conversation goes right out the window. Get ready for the playoffs, and if Dallas and Philadelphia play again, know full well it's coming to the link.
They play essentially the same schedule. Now, I know there were some people early in the year said the Eagles weren't really tested. I never really bought that. I mean, so here's who they beat during this season, okay? They beat Minnesota, which I think is a bit of a fraud team, but they're going to be one of the top seeds in the NFC.
Yeah, but they did beat them 40-3. You got to give them the props for that game. They didn't
24-7.
Minnesota. Who?
The Eagles beat Minnesota. No, Dallas beat Minnesota too, but I'm saying they both beat Minnesota. I'm talking about the Eagles when people say the Eagles had an easy schedule. They beat Minnesota. They beat Jacksonville early in the year. Now, Jacksonville obviously got it together late in the year. Congrats to Dougie P, made those playoffs. They beat the Cowboys early. They beat Green Bay, who has a chance to be a playoff team today. They crushed the Giants in New York, who are a playoff team. And that's it. Those are the playoff teams they beat. Am I leaving anybody out? No.
Potential playoff team, long shot, but Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh could still sneak in.
Yeah.
If they win today and a couple other games going a specific
way. That's right. And Detroit's still alive?
They are. But they need Seattle to lose prior to, if Seattle gets beat by the Rams today, not likely, but possible, then Detroit can get in. But if you put Detroit in, then you got to take Green Bay out.
All right, so if we're just sticking in the NFC, we're looking at the teams that are going to make the playoffs in the NFC. They did not play San Francisco. Okay. They did not play Tampa Bay, but they played and they split with Dallas. They beat Green Bay, who may make the playoffs. They beat Minnesota. They beat the Giants. It's not an easy schedule. It's a schedule.
Right.
I mean, it's a moderate schedule.
The one thing that played in their favor was the fact that they got teams at the right time.
Sure.
They didn't get the Jags early. They didn't get the Jags late. They got the Jags early. But there's nothing you can do about that.
Right.
That's it. The way the schedule fell out.
Exactly. All right, Jody, before we get back to football and David in South Philly, hang in there. I want to play you this. Jody, that thing goes on for about 12 minutes. That, my friend, is Gregory Soto, and somebody put together a compilation of all of his strikeouts last year. And yesterday, your Philadelphia Phillies traded for Gregory Soto, and we'll get to the other guy, Kobe Clemens, in a moment. for return of basically kind of the bottom of your bench. Nick Maton, and I don't mean to discredit these guys, but bench guys. Nick Maton, Matt Vierling, and the catcher Danny Sanzo came up a little bit yesterday. Two-time All-Star is Gregory Soto. Has some real control issues. Throws flames out there. As I've always said, I really trust your baseball acumen. What do you think of this trade?
I really like the deal. I'll give Matt Vierling a little more credit than you did because he played plenty last year and he was going to be a factor again this upcoming season with the fact that we know Harper's not going to be able to play the outfield for months. So Vierling was going to be part of the outfield mix if they had not made the deal that they made. If nothing else, as a defensive replacement for Schwarber or Castellanos in left and right, because neither one of those guys are good defenders. So they're opening up a bit of a hole in the roster, which is okay, because they got the best player in the deal in Soto. You mentioned a two-time All-Star. Part of that is the fact that the Tigers have to have an All-Star, and they haven't had a very good team these last couple of years.
Yeah.
Who's your favorite Philly reliever of all time who made the All-Star team a couple of years ago? Guy you couldn't stand.
What's his name? The lefty who pitched 30 innings a year. God, right. Now I'm forgetting his name.
So am I, and shame on both of us for that. But I do remember you're always questioning him.
Oh, no, he used to come at me, and we would go back and forth on social media. Oh, yeah.
Right, yeah. And I don't want to compare Mr. Soto to him, but it's somewhat similar in that somebody's got to make the All-Star team, and he was the best of a bad Tiger roster these last couple of seasons. But I don't care. He's a two-time All-Star. He has been a closer.
Pat Neshek.
There you go. Thank you, Pat.
Oh, God,
Neshek.
What a piece of work that guy was.
I remember you.
He had no interest in being here.
Not really being a big fan of Pat Neshek. But I am a big fan of Gregory Soto in that he's been there. He's done that. He's pitched in high leverage situations. Here's where I'll draw the comparison. When the Phillies obtained Alvarado a couple of years ago, very similar. Guy could just flat out bring it through nasty stuff, but could, on a given night, walk the ballpark. And he came here, and specifically this year in the new regime, a much improved, much more in command of his stuff. Shoot, the Phillies were using him in the highest of high leverage situations in the postseason because that's the way Ralph Thompson wanted to manage. If Gregory Soto can follow in his footsteps, and I believe that he can, this is an outstanding trade to be able to get a high leverage back end bullpen piece and give up reserves. They're key reserves, and they were chemistry guys on this very good Philly team that was within two games of winning the World Series. So they're going to have to make sure they add the type of players who will fit the chemistry of the team. But this is a trade I make every day of the week and twice on Sundays.
Yeah, and I agree for all the reasons you just stated. And the Alvarado thing is really interesting because, remember, they sent Alvarado to the minors last year and kind of had to get him to figure it out. He saw a mind control coach, I'm sure that's not what it's called, but somebody to kind of help him figure out, you know, how to control his mind and his thoughts on the mound, and it really worked. And Caleb Cotham, who's the Phillies pitching coach, did a great job with it. And yeah, I think they see kind of the same thing, and another lefty who throws fire, and, you know, can't have too many of those guys. I think that's great. He throws a lot of pitches. Man, he throws a lot of pitches. Mm-hmm. He's going to slow down the game when he comes in. But that's not really the point. The point is you got yourself another reliever. Relievers seem like such a crapshoot, Jody. Every year they redo the bullpen and they get three or four new guys and we think they're going to be good, and occasionally they are. Hopefully this year's is, because they brought in other guys. They brought in Kimbrel, see if he has another year left in that arm. They brought in Matt Strom, another lefty. So they got three lefties out there now. And you hope they just find the combination that works. I don't think any of these guys is the guaranteed closer. Even though this kid Soto had 30 saves last year, I don't think he walks in as the closer. I think they will do it by committee and do it by circumstance. I'll tell you the one thing. You mentioned Soto in the All-Star game. I think I remember. Isn't he the guy who gave up the bomb to Real Muto in the All-Star game?
Oh, I'd have to look that up.
I think he is. I think that's what it was. Not that that matters in this case, but I think that's what it was. But listen. They're aggressive. I love how they have built on a team that went to the World Series, surprised everybody by going to the World Series, and a team that's in a really tough division with the Mets, who are spending and gaining and getting a lot, although I don't know where the Korea thing's going, and the Braves, who are a quality team. The Phillies are really hanging in there, and they've made I love the moves they've made this offseason, and I think it's going to be a very fun 2023.
What it does, as I said, open up a spot on this team where they still need to upgrade, and that's reserve outfielders. Because as of right now, you got Marsh in center, you got Schwarber in left, you got Castellanos in right, and you don't really have a backup outfielder at any of the positions.
Yeah.
So that is going to be a priority, I would think, for Dave Dombrowski. I'm not looking for them to add a big name. I know you threw out Jerks and Profar a couple of weeks, if not a month ago.
Still unsigned.
Still unsigned, and a guy I would absolutely like to have, depending on maybe his market is just cratered and maybe it's not going to be as high as some of us would have speculated. So he's a guy I would certainly have interest in, but I think it's a bit of a long shot.
Yeah, I do too.
Guys who have, let me give you two names.
All right.
On guys who are reserve outfielders, one of which fills a, I think, a bit of a key spot in that he plays center field. I actually like the one who's a left fielder, right fielder, more so for his bat. But if you're looking to make that center field backup spot a priority, two guys who have been here in Philadelphia earlier. A couple of years ago, the Phillies picked up Corey Dickerson at the trade deadline.
Yeah.
And he came in and did a nice, solid job for him. Got key hits in big spots. He spent this last year in St. Louis where he was a part-time outfielder, wasn't an everyday guy, but got 200 and change at bats. Didn't have a great year with the stick, but I think he's just a flat-out hitter. He's already played here in Philadelphia, and some people concerned themselves with that. Can he handle the pressure of Philadelphia? Blah, blah. Dickerson's been here, done that. So he's a guy I would have some interest in. I don't think he's going to be very expensive because he's coming off a less-than-stellar Corey Dickerson-type year. And the other one is Travis Jankowski, who was here just a year ago.
Yeah, he was here too, right.
Right.
Utility guy, yeah.
Utility guy, has some speed, can absolutely play center field. I would say slightly above average defensively center field. Can run a little bit, and I think the Phillies with Trey Turner are going to run more this year. Had a weird year, was with the Mets, played some. They tried to make a roster move and get him through waivers. Seattle claimed him. Seattle had him for a week. They put him back on waivers. The Mets claimed him back again. So he had a kind of a traveled year last year where he's never really set. I would not mind bringing him back on a split contract. If he makes a team, so be it. If not, minor league type deal. I think that's what he's looking at on the open market. So that's just a couple of ex-Philly guys who I think would be good in a return engagement here in Philly as a backup outfielder.
Yeah, neither would break the bank. I mean, you figure 200 at-bats max for either of them. I'm fine with that. Not top shelf guys, but at this point you just need to add depth. So I'm good with that. 215-592-9494. Oh, hey, David and Self, I am sorry to make you hold. We promise we'll get you at the start of the next segment. Anybody else invited to join? Top of the hour, Jody Mack, our old producer and a guy who's gone on to fame and terrific work, Mike Garofolo, is going to join us, and we'll talk about the Eagles and the rest of the league. We're at Lincoln Financial Field as the Eagles prepare to take on the New York Giants. 4:25 kickoff today. Jody Mack, Glenn Mack now on 94 WIP.
All right, guys, are you ready for some football this afternoon? Pro football's regular season winding down. Birds playing at home versus New York this week. College football championship game on Monday. Pro and college hoops. So much more action to be had. The Bet Park Sportsbook Casino app has you covered. Get odds, bets, slots, and games right there in the palm of your hand. It's safe, secure, and very easy to use. The official sportsbook of the real Philly sports fan and the only sportsbook and casino app that I recommend. Bet on more than just the score. You got the player props. You got parlays. You got teasers. They offer everything to you. And with live in-game betting, you make a play in the first half, want to double down at halftime, want to try and balance your wager at half, you can bet during the game. Join me now, and new users can get up to $750 in sportsbook bonus back if your first bet isn't a winner. So download the app and start playing instantly with the Bet Park Sportsbook and Casino app.